You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It is 9 minutes after 8 South African time. You are tuning in, listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. The 18th of Jumad al-Ula 1441, which is also the 14th of Jan 2020. Our Zakat Nisab 5,135 rand. Mehre Fatimi, it's 12,840 rand. Minimum mahar for Hanafis is 260 rand. For Malikis is 85 rand. Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum mahar. Our WhatsApp number is 0847863132. Yes, to the international overseas countries, plus 2784786 3132. Our beloved Ustad's email is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. And the other email address is mufti@telcomsa.net. That is mufti@telcomsa.net. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. I want to welcome all the listeners, of course, local, national, and international, on this beautiful Monday night. The Q&A every Monday is between 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Let's welcome our engineer, Brother Lokolo, and our other engineer in KZN. And let's welcome our beloved, respected Mufti Saab, Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ma'arafat, barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khairan to all the esteemed listeners throughout the world. Alhamdulillah.
Ustad, let's begin with the listener saying, Assalamu alaikum, respected Mufti Saab. Which madrasa should I send my son for hifz classes, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever a person has options, and all those options are permissible, then read the following dua and supplication. And this is the simple dua for istikhara. Istikhara means we are asking Almighty Allah Jalla Wala directly for guidance. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, khir li khara khire. Allahumma khir li, O beloved Allah, select the best for me. Wakhtar li, and choose for me. So this hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, whatever comes in your mind, in your heart, that is your answer. You don't have to sleep and dream and so forth and so on. Secondly, seeing that you want to take your son to a certain hifz class, my advice to you, O parents, will be, make sure that once your son starts at that Hafiz Sahab, Qari Sahab, Maulana, Mufti Sahab, whoever, then you leave him there. Don't keep on changing and so forth. You break the heart of the teacher, and then your son also becomes despondent, Allah forbid. So make the right choice, and inshallah, in 2 years' time, 1.5 years' time, 3 years' time, that person, your beloved son, will complete the hifz. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy.
Ustad, it's a zakat on gold we use, zakat.
Remember that people are using their gold coins, their Kruger coins, and so forth and so on. So yes, there is zakat on that according to all the scholars of Islam. And if your question is regarding our wife, our daughters, our mothers, jewelry, then remember from the four schools, only the Hanafi says zakat is compulsory on the gold jewelry. The Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis say, la zakat fil huli, that there is no zakat in jewelry. Now here there are two, three issues we need to elaborate and explain. Number one is this. The Hanafi ulama say that whether the lady is using it or it is in a vault and safe, in all cases zakat will be compulsory. And the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Ambalis and them say that if she is using it once, twice, thrice a year, then there will not be zakat. But if the entire year pass, lunar year, Ramadan to Ramadan, Muharram to Muharram, Rabiul Awwal to Rabiul Awwal, and the whole year, entire year pass, she did not use it, then zakat will be compulsory. That is according to Shafi'is. So therefore, we need to be clear on these type of issues.
Ustad, husband passed away, survived by wife, three sons and a daughter. What are the shares, Ustad?
Remember, before I respond to that query, everyone should know that wherever you are living, the Muslim country, Arab country, South Africa, non-Muslim country, that is wajib compulsory to have an Islamic will according to the Sharia. And most Muslim countries today, remember that their laws are against Islam. So therefore, even in majority of the Muslim countries, you have to ensure that you draw up your will according to the Sharia. We all know that one day we have to die, kullu nafsin zaiqatul maut. So Islam taught us the divine and prophetic system. First, the burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. If a family member, friend wants to pay for that, that's fine. Second, the debts of the deceased from the entire estate. Business debts, corporate debts, personal debts, all are included. Justice delayed is justice denied. And third one, remember, is wasiya for non-heirs. It can be a person, organization, but must be something that is permissible. And fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. Now let's take this scenario. Husband passed away, you, the children, the wife, that now the widow. You should be reading Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, Jalla Wala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers. The day the reckoning is established. Now, in this case, when you go in sequence, as I mentioned, now we come to the shares of the heirs. So the wife's share will be 12.5%. 100,000 is the estate, so 12,500 will go to the wife. Thereafter, remember, we have three sons and we have one daughter. So each son will get 25%, so that's 75%. And the wife will take her 12.5%, and now you're left with another 12.5%. So that will go to the beloved daughter of the deceased. So that is very, very simple. So in a case like this, that everyone, all the sons, 25%, and the women, that is the wife and daughter respectively, 12.5%.
Somebody says here, Ustad, can I perform sajda tilawat after Fajr and Asr, Ustad?
If you made tilawat of the noble Quran after Fajr, for example, you read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, you read Surah Iqra Bismi after Fajr, after Asr, and immediately you go into sajda, so totally permissible according to all schools. However, you read it now at night, and then tomorrow after Fajr, you want to make the Sajda Tilawat, or tomorrow after Asr, you want to perform the Sajda Tilawat, that's not permissible. Remember, regarding Sajda Tilawat, it is wajib, compulsory, according to the Hanafi scholars, and according to the Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali jurists, it is Sunnah. So, according to Hanafis, if a person does not perform it, nor now, nor in the future, and passes away, وَهُوَ آثِمٌ, he passed away committing a sin. And according to majority scholars, there would not be a sin, but we are highly encouraged to perform it.
Ustad, somebody wants to know, since we know that Ramadan is just around the corner, inshallah, how should one prepare for the beautiful month of Ramadan, Ustad, from now?
Yes, remember that the women will start preparation with their samosas and bhajjas and savories. That is not what we are talking about. what is the real preparation for the sacred month of Ramadan, the fasting month. Remember, analyze the meaning of Ramadan. Ramadan means tahriqu dhunub, to incinerate and burn the sins. So let us start burning our sins from now. We do not know whether we will see Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh beloved Allah, spare us for another Ramadan. Maximum reward in minimum time. But from now we should start. Secondly, make sincere tawbah immediately from now. Our debts immediately from now, we start paying it out and so forth. A humble appeal to you, all the esteemed listeners listening nationally, globally, internationally. Remember that, try and please Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lawadittu annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati." It is my ardent and strong desire. Every member of this ummah, male, female, adult, and child, should memorize Surah to Yasin, the hadith in Musnad al-Bazzar. Just over 3 months left now. Start tonight, start tomorrow. Daily we read then by heart 2-3 verses, 1-2 verses. Lo and behold, during the month of Ramadan, you will know Surah Yasin by heart. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be so pleased. Similarly, another surah, the Master alayhi salam said that we should try and memorize is Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, and that is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. So let us rise up to the challenge, those who are not Huffaz and Hafiz of the Noble Quran. O brother, sister, mother, father, son, daughter, by heart and memorize Surah Yasin and Surah Mulk. May Almighty Allah grant us tawfiq. Ramadan, fasting is a duty, and the beauty of Ramadan is Tilawatul Quran.
Subhanallah. We said we are in Makkatul Mukarramah. Can I make multiple intentions for my tawaf and umrah, Ustad?
Yes, mashallah, every good deed that you perform there in Makkah Mukarramah, Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Majlul Aqsa from all the enemies of the Muslims and the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Nevertheless, that we will say that 100,000 reward you get, so you making tawaf, make intention for the people who passed away, the people who are alive, and those yet to come, so all that permissible. You're going to perform Umrah tonight, tomorrow, during the week. Alhamdulillah, you go to Tan'im, Masjid Aisha. You go to Masjid De Jirana. You go to Hudaybiyah. So all these places you can go. Hudaybiyah, nowadays is called Shumaysiyah. And from there, mashallah, you make the intention of Umrah. Multiple intention for million, billion, zillion people. All totally permissible. There's no problem with that. Rahmati wasiyat kulla shay. Almighty Allah Jalla wala states, my mercy envelopes and encompasses everything. So through the mercy of Almighty Allah, everyone will get the reward, and you, my brother, sister, you also will receive the optimum, maximum reward, inshallah.
Ustad, husband issued a talaq, but the wife is not present. Is it valid, Ustad?
Remember, it is not a prerequisite or condition that when the husband utters the words of talaq and divorce, or he writes it out, that the wife must be present. Remember that whether she is present or absent, and he, the husband, uttered the words of talaq, divorce, wrote it out, from that time, remember the talaq is valid, and immediately the iddat starts, whether the wife is aware of it or she is unaware. But remember, the iddat will commence immediately after the talaq was issued, whether verbally or in writing, and on that there is consensus according to the four schools of thought.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, this is from Johannesburg. He says that what is the ruling if the buyer made the condition of option and a fault was introduced in the article whilst it was in his buyer's, on the buyer's hands? Ustad, the ruling.
Remember that if I sell you an article, let's say a car, example I'm giving. Now there are 2-3 scenarios. I sell you this car and I tell you, ana bari'un min kulli aib, that I am selling it to you footstoots. Now obviously people in South Africa, overseas, don't understand this terminology. Footstoots means as is. Tomorrow, after 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, you don't come and tell me the pistons are not working and the generator has packed up and this has packed up and that has packed up and what have you. So I told you when you bought it that you are taking it as is. I am not held responsible for anything. So fine, so that person who purchased it cannot come and say he wants a refund and compensation and so forth. That's one scenario. Second scenario is that you bought a certain item, say for example it's brand new, and then they told you, the seller told you, that the person who's selling that merchandise, that there is a 6 months, 1 year warranty guarantee on the engine or on this, on that and so forth. Like today, there are so many things, computers and cars and what have you. So they give you, and they'll give you some document or they'll give you some CD or what have you. And in there, all the clauses and everything are mentioned. So within that period there, if the engine packs in or whatever you, then definitely you have the right that they either fix it up or either give you another car or something, whatever you'll reach to a mutual agreement. So it just depends how the deal, the transaction was made. And remember that today you go to these supermarkets and what have you, they will tell you that you keep the slip which you bought the item, and within 7 days you can bring it back, even if there's no fault in it. So that also you can do, remember. So it just depends how you deal, how you made the transaction, and how the transaction was made with both parties agreeing to that.
Is it permissible for a father to instruct his son to divorce his wife due to grave reasons, Ustad? They are separated for almost a year and seem she is not prepared to reconcile.
First, you see, always these type of questions, we must understand it is a one-side story. So our function and duty is that we answer these questions, but we do not know what is the other side of the story. Now let's take this. That year we have, there's a commotion, big trouble between husband and wife for about a year. The wife is gone. Seems, according to the question, she is not really ready or prepared to reconcile. And now the father is instructing the son that you should divorce her. But what was the problem? If this lady is not reading Salat, she is not wearing modest clothes and so forth and so on, then remember that will be justified for the father to tell his son to divorce her, seeing that this lady does not want to change. But if the father is telling the son to divorce his wife because that daughter-in-law is not cooking every day for the mother-in-law, father-in-law, she is not doing the washing for them, she says it's not her responsibility, then in that case there, remember that the father is wrong to command his son. The father is far wrong in commanding his son that he must divorce his son, divorce his wife. So it just depends what the circumstances are. Our aim always is jorna and not torna. We say save the home, and more so if there's a child or innocent, a masum child or children involved. So therefore, we don't know what are the real circumstances. Oh sister, if your husband is assaulting you, beating you, and things are really difficult, then if you're reconciling, then you do this. You say, fine, I will reconcile. I want my own house, my own residence, and these are the conditions that if you have an affair, or if you beat me up and assault me, if you go to drugs and alcohol, and so forth, then automatically a talaq, a buy-in will fall, so an irrevocable divorce. So all that would be permissible and acceptable. So it just depends how you want to reconcile.
Ustad, Brother Yahya from Paarl in Cape Town wants to know that how must a person go about making a ta'weez?
Putta Yahya, what will you a ta'weez? Winkel ko Pakhanda and the Paarl of my Buddha. So I'm asking Brother Yahya, he's there in Paarl in beautiful Cape Town, what he wants to start a ta'weez shop. Putta Yahya and Paarl, remember the most powerful ta'weez. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmed. قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. So you tell people to read that after every for salat and before sleeping, and they blow on themselves. Tell them to read قل يا الكافرون قل والله and the last two surahs, Surah Falak and Surah Nas. Tell them to read Ayatul Kursi, Surah Fatiha. That is how we will build the firewall around us. Today people want the firewall for their computers. They want the security for their homes. But we forget the security of our Iman. We forget the security of our Islam. So these are the Quranic verses that we should be reciting. Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, the four quls, Qul Ya Al-Kafirun, and the last three surahs. All these other ta'weez, put on the neck, put there. 90% of them, remember, that we don't even know what they write in there. So best is to abstain from those and read the Quran Sharif. That is the most powerful. Remember, it is the direct speech of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
29 minutes after 8, we're going to go inshallah for our Isha Azan. And thereafter, inshallah, after the Isha Azan, we will be back with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
24 minutes to 9, you are tuning and listening to the Q&A. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. And of course, international overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved local, national and international listeners. Ustad, let's go to Dubai. And this is Brother Abdul Hay that was listening to you this morning on the Q&A. He says, respected Muftisab, regarding Tawaful Wida, is this Tawaf Fard? What are the consequences if one leaves for home without performing Tawaful Wida? Is this Tawaf waived for a menstruating woman? What should a woman do if he's on her way to Mecca and has not left the boundary of Mecca and her menstruation stops? Brother Abdul Hay from Dubai, Ustad.
Remember, Brother Abdul Hay, Barakallahu Fikum, that these questions you are asking is not related to Umrah. Because Umrah is just, you are in Ihram, you perform Tawaf, you read your 2 rakat Salat, you make and perform your sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you shave your hair, the women cut their hair. That's finished with the Umrah. There's no Tawaful Wida in Umrah. If you are asking, it seems about Hajj, maybe inshallah Allah take us all for Umrah, yes, for Hajj with His grace and mercy.
Going for Hajj, Ustaji.
MashaAllah. So remember, Tawaful Wida is wajib. So that's the first thing you must know. Second one is, you are there and for some reason you must Tawaful Wida, then you have to slaughter a goat or a sheep, remember that, there in Mecca. Second one is a lady that she is in a menses, she performed Tawaful Ziyara, Tawaful Ifada, Hanafis call it Tawaful Ziyara, Shafis, Hanbalis call it Tawaful Ifada, that is first, they have to perform it. So that is fine. So all that is done now before departure, the lady's menses start. So in a case like that, remember that now the lady, she, it is waived off from her, and now she don't have to perform Tawaful Wida. That you are about to leave and so forth, and now the menses stop, so she must take a ghusl and perform the Tawaful Wida, and thereafter you depart and so forth. So inshallah, just send me your WhatsApp inshallah to 071-888-1184. We will forward to you our Hajj Kitab and Umrah Kitab. All these questions you are asking, you will find it there inshallah.
Ustaz, assalamu alaikum, esteemed, respected Mufti Saab. My friend in Brazil, it says in bracket Salvador, would like to know if there are any Islamic centers near her, as she would like information about Islam. I have told her about Islam, she is interested in accepting. The nearest place where there are Muslims is in Bahia, Brazil. She is not a Muslim, Ustad. She has tumor, which is growing. She is a cancer patient, Ustad.
Yes, we need to solve this problem immediately. Your best bet will be, inshallah, brother, that you contact our colleague there, and he is Maulana Abdul Ghani Ghani. Maulana Abdul Ghani Ghani, he is in Sao Paulo. You just contact me directly, 071-888-1184. 0718881184, and inshallah that I will send you his details, and time is of the essence. You need to get me contact with him, and then inshallah the lady can make contact with him. He's doing sterling service there in Sao Paulo, and we don't know that when death will come to us or to her, but we need to ensure that inshallah she embraces Islam almost immediately, and if anything happens, she leaves this world with Iman and Islam. So just send me inshallah all the details, and inshallah we will give you the details of Maulana Sheikh Abdul Ghani Ghani. He is based in Sao Paulo, and in that way we can sort out this issue inshallah.
Ustaz, according to Islam, prostrating to idols is forbidden. Then why then do Muslims bow to the Kaaba? I can't answer my friends. Jazakumullah for your time, Sister Naila from Lozembezi River, Ustad.
Sister Naila, you should be explaining to them the famous surah, which I'm 99% sure that you by hearted and memorized, Surah Quraysh, and that is chapter number 106 of the Noble Quran. So there Almighty Allah states, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. We are not worshipping the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah. We are worshipping Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. When people worship idols and what have you, you will find they place the idols high above themselves and they are at the bottom. So we are way above the Kaaba when we are on the top floor, and when you are in the hot, where we are reading Salat from here. So remember, we are not worshipping the Kaaba, and we are worshipping Almighty Allah alone. Then why do we face in that direction? It is to create and establish and bring about unity and uniformity, and that is whether I'm in the plane, in the land, on the train, on the plane, so wherever, so I'll face the Baytullah, Makkah Mukarramah, because Makkah Mukarramah is Ummul Qura, the mother of all towns and all cities. Allah Jalla Wala, special mercy descends there, and then it travels to all parts of the world. So explain to them that tomorrow the Kaaba Musharrafa will be demolished, as tomorrow meaning in future, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So we will still face that direction. So that is a clear evidence that we do not worship it. We worshipping Almighty Allah, but we face there. So this for uniformity and unity, and that brings about the solidarity within the hearts of the Ummah Muslimah.
Ustad, for ladies, which is more virtuous, to go inside the Masjid Nabawi and read Salam looking at the metal casing, or go on the other side and looking at the green dome from outside and reading Salat Salam, Ustad?
Remember that for Salat and Namaz purposes, for you ladies, it's best for you to read in your hotel rooms compared to the Masjid. And whether it's Masjidul Haram in Makkah Mukarramah or Al-Masjidul Nabawi there in Madinah Munawwara. However, if you read Salat behind the honorable imams there, your Salat will be valid according to all four schools, so there's no problem with that. Regarding the salawat and salam and durood upon salawat, salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember that we, you the ladies, because I received these questions, obviously we're not allowed there, but remember that there are so many ladies and the area is very, very congested. So what you should do, sister, is this, that rather stand at the back and from there you read your salat and salam upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the salam upon Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and on Sayyidina Umar Farooq Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu. I would not advise you that you go right in front, you pushing the ladies, they jostling and pushing you and so forth. And thereafter, when you are passing there, so from outside also you can read, there's no problem with that. And especially for you ladies, because you have time restrictions as well, you're only allowed in the morning from about 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and then after Isha till midnight, 1 o'clock at night and so forth. So these are the only two times you have. So that is is my advice to you. Regarding this, there is one, two sheikhs we know. So I raised this issue with the sheikh and I told him, Sheikh, we cannot tell the authorities. You are people who speak and deliver lectures here in Masjid al-Nabawi. You see the chaos that's going on with the ladies. So the sheikh told me, tell the ladies they must sit there in the hotel, they don't have to come. So anyway, so I just smiled. I told him, Sheikh, you are here, it's very easy. So our ladies come from South Africa, America, Europe, once in a lifetime. Then what must we tell them? So then he smiled, he kept quiet. So anyway, it is a problem. And remember, the only way currently I see you solving this problem is rather remain at the back, maintain the sanctity of Masjid Nabawi. You are right in the presence of Habibullah Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have to show the adab and respect, and you can't be pushing and jostling and all that. So that will be the easy solution, my sisters. Allah Jalla wa Ala will reward you for your sacrifice, and remember, for showing adab, more so there in Masjid Nabawi, in the presence of the Master, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ustaz, Brother Adrian wants to know that under the Islamic law, why is a woman's share of the inherited wealth only half that of a man? Ustaz, Brother Adrian.
Very good, my brother Adrian. I told you this morning, brother Adrian, I promise you that any person of any faith, you pose questions to us, we will not take offense. Remember that that is our function and our duty, that we want to give you and explain to you Islam, which is the best, and we need to share it with the rest. Now let us take two examples, brother Adrian. I have a daughter, right? Example. So now that daughter lives with me from the day of her birth. So from the time of her birth right till the day she gets married, whether she's 18, 20, 25 years old, it is my responsibility as the biological father. I have to support her, give her shelter, clothing, education, medication, and food and everything else. When she gets married, then her husband has to provide everything for her. So it shows that the women in Islam, from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, they are receiving, receiving, receiving. There's no expenditure on them, brother Adrian. But I have a son. That son, I only have to look after him, give him, you know, shelter, food, clothing, till the age of 15, 16, and so forth, 17. And thereafter, if I spend on him, remember, it is just voluntary, is not something mandatory, compulsory upon me. Then he has to get the job, he has to get married, he will have his own children, and so many other expenses. He has to pay the mahar, the marital gift to his wife. So when I pass away, this son of mine will inherit double, and the daughter will inherit single. Not because what the West are saying. The West are saying that Islam is unjust and unfair, and Islam is chauvinistic and so forth. All that is a propaganda of the West, remember that. Therefore, people realize that the West is just making stories, and majority and so many hundreds of them are fed up with their own cultures and they're embracing Islam, because it is a natural system. Now you work it out, brother Adrian, that this lady, my daughter, that there is now 300,000 in my estate, for example. So 200,000 will go to my son. Why? Because his expenses are much more. And 100,000 will go to my daughter, because she will still be receiving from her husband or from her brother and other family members after my demise and after my death if she's not married. So that is our Islamic stance. We don't have to compromise anything regarding Islam, and there's no need to be apologetic regarding any law of Islam.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, please advise us to how best to dispose of old Qur'ans and kitabs. Is it permissible to burn them, Ustaz?
Remember that regarding Quran Sharif and Dua kitabs and other Ahadith kitabs that are old, torn and tattered, you have three options. Option number one, you go and bury it. Bury it in the graveyard, bury it some other place, no problem. Second one, submerge it in the water. You put it in a box and then put a stone or a brick and so forth. You are living by the river, the dam, the ocean. So there you just submerge it. I know in Heidelberg, my hometown, one day I went through all the kitabs there by my mother, father's place. Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. And so many kitabs torn and tattered and what. So I took one big box, took all the kitabs, then mashallah, just opposite our houses, nearby, not far, you find there's a river there, and I went and I submerged everything myself in that. So very easy to do so. Third one, this will be the last option, that you burn it, but we do not encourage this. Where is the dalil and evidence that you can burn? In time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu warda, Islam was spreading far and wide. So the people came arguing and saying, all this in Bukhari Sharif, they said that my recitation, my style is right and correct and yours is incorrect. Because remember, the Quran Sharif was revealed already to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was written on various items, some of it on paper, some of it on leather, some of it on bark and so forth and so on. So nevertheless, in time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, the entire Quran Sharif was reduced to paper, hence it was called Mushaf. Mushaf meaning now it is in the form of paper and scroll and so forth. In time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, now the script of it was made official, that the writing style will be according to the Quraysh. Therefore, if you go to the Arab countries, you will see even today, Al-Quran al-Kareem bir rasmi al-Uthmani, according to the script of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, meaning that he commissioned the panel of Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu an, and that is how the Quran Sharif was written, and this, everything was there before, but now it was just codified properly. And in that way, remember that all the other Quran Sharif that were there in Medina were burned, and that is the dalil and evidence. As a last resort, you can burn the Quran Sharif, but the first two options are much better. Either you bury it, or either you submerge it in water.
Ustad, the listener is saying that an alim said it is better to do more umrahs than tawafs when in Makkah, as he quoted a hadith that there is more reward in an ibadat which is more difficult to perform. Please advise, Ustad.
Remember, with due respect, we do not agree with him, and even the four schools don't agree with him. Because remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself encouraged more umrah. What he is quoting is ujurukum ala qadri mashaqqatikum, that you will get more reward when you undergo more difficulty. But remember, that was not the practice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam's practice is either qawlan or fa'lan. That either with the speech mubarak, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam encourages the ummah, or the master alayhi salatu wasalam, remember, with his own mubarak actions. Now let's study both. Regarding Umrah and regarding Tawaf, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said for Tawaf, Man tawafa bil bayti khamsina marra, kharaja min dhunubihi kayawmin waladatu ummuhu. Whosoever performs 50 Tawaf, one Tawaf is 7 rounds, 7 circuits, around the Baytullah, then that person will come out of his vices and sins, so pure and cleansed, like the day his biological mother gave birth to him, so pure and cleansed he is. So the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for Umrah, but after that Umrah, never perform another Umrah in the same journey. So remember that, but the Sahaba were performing Tawaf and so forth. So therefore we look at that. You take it Hajj. So again, the alim here also, that rationale of his will not work. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam came on the camel Mubarak, performed the Hajj on the camel. So remember that difficulty was walking, but Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rahmatul alameen, the only rahmatul alameen, that the mercy to the entire universe and creation for all times and all places. So therefore, to perform a Hajj, walking or going on a bus or means of conveyance, even today, remember, majority scholars say it is best to go with a bus and so forth. In that way, we emulating, imitating Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of you who are in Makkah Mukarrama. You're going to Makkah Mukarrama now for Umrah in Ramadan, Hajj time, inshallah. Allah Jalla Wala take us through either Haramain Sharifain and Aqsa Al-Mubarak. So remember that in Makkah, the more tawaf you perform, the better it is compared to more Umrahs.
Ustaz, let's go to Maputo. It says here, scenario, respected Mufti Sab, woman delivers a baby boy and then dies a week later. The query is, Ustaz, what are the rules, regulations, stipulations regarding custody and upbringing of the baby? Do the maternal grandparents, Nana, Nani, have any rights over the child? From Maputo, Ustaz.
Remember that when the baby was born and after 1 week, 1 month, whatever, now the mother passes away. So who has custody of that baby, boy or girl? So remember, it will be the nani, the maternal grandfather, maternal grandmother. And if the maternal grandmother is deceased, then you go to the khala, al-khala to be manzilat il-um, the maternal auntie. So meaning that at that age, the baby is so tender, so they need the motherly care. So the mother's family, they will be responsible and so forth. However, all the expenses will be that still from the father, the husband, so he will have to pay for all these expenses, although the custody is there by the mother's family. So we should not go and cause friction. Remember, these type of things happen. It is a happy, happy occasion. Lo and behold, the mother gave birth. But takdir, that is the decree of Almighty Allah, after 1 week, 1 month, the mother passed away. Now that baby there, the mother's family will bring her or him upright, but the expenses will still come from her, those babies, let's just say the daughter, from her biological father. And you, the mother's family, make sure that the father has access to his beautiful, wonderful child. You can never deprive that. That is what people are doing today. Remember, just out of jealousy, and I'll show you a point and all that. So all that is unacceptable. So it's a give and take situation.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, somebody wants to know, it says that, is it allowed to sell fictional books? I would like to run a small book stand possibly, but I'm concerned, Ustaz, that bestsellers might sometimes contain indecent language and describe immorality. Anonymous, Ustaz.
It's not permissible today. Majority of the books, remember, either they will have animate objects, or either they will have propaganda, or either the language also is totally haram and unacceptable. So therefore, your income also will be haram, tainted and polluted. So just forget all this idea of what is coming to you. So if you want to do some great service for the Ummah, then open a book, Islamic bookshop, and sell authentic Islamic literature. And in that way, mashallah, I don't know you, I don't know where you are located, but if you want to do that, then choose the Islamic books, and then you can contact us by email akhusain@gmail.com, H-O-O-S-E-N, and in that way there we will tell you which books are authentic and which are propaganda and not permissible. So that will be the best option for you.
Ustad, the listener says, if Ustad could please repeat the WhatsApp number of the Molana in Brazil. Ustad.
Remember, I told you that you must contact me first, and thereafter that I will send you the number. So you send me your WhatsApp, 071-000. You send me your message, and on my WhatsApp number, 071-888-1184, and then I'll send it to you, because I don't have it here, I have it there in my study, and thereafter we will then send it to you.
2 minutes to 9 o'clock, we go to UK, Leicester. A listener says, what should be done if one's business partner demands all the shares? Please, Ustad, what should I do?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has addressed all these type of issues in a noble Quran. Remember, partnership is a ship that does not sail very, very far, my brother. Let us see what the Quran Kareem teaches us. Wa inna kathiram min al khulata. Verily, majority of the partners, la yabghi ba'dhum ala ba'd. They oppress, majority oppress the other partners. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Except those people who possess through iman and do the righteous deeds. Wa qaleelum ma'hum. And they are extremely, extremely few. chapter number 38 and verse number 24. So there Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has taught us that remember that partnership is not encouraged all the time. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, Bulughul Maram, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations, the hadith of Qudsi, Almighty Allah states, Ana thalithu sharikain. There are two partners, I am the third one. My mercy, my help will come there. To the both partners, Ma lam yakhun ahaduhuma al-akhar, as long as one partner does not commit breach of trust and so forth, and dishonesty and so forth, then Allah's help disappears. Obviously, brother, I'm sure that when you went into a partnership, you had some agreement, either in writing or verbal, and maybe you had witnesses. So if you went into a partnership, then how can one partner take everything over? It's haram for him to do that. That if the agreement was 90-10, 60-40, 50-50, so obviously that whatever your agreement was, so that is what will be valid and acceptable.
9 o'clock, we're going to go inshallah for an interval. When we get back inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away, stay tuned.